stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, July 19th. Not a special day by any means.
It is special.
Is it special?
Yes. Every day is special, Sam.
Oh, okay. But it's not like a holiday or anything like that.
We could make up one.
I had to point it out.
We could make up a holiday.
Okay.
Why not?
July 19th. Okay.
I don't know what that holiday is going to be, but we'll make up one. What's going on?
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning,
everyone.
Sammy.
And I wanted to, let's tease our interview right away. We have an interview with an author.
Yes.
Who wrote a book on doggies. And
it's called A Dog's Purpose.
Dog's Purpose. And that's
Bruce
definitely
Cameron.
A tearjerker.
Oh, I know. I started reading it and I was already crying within the first five pages.
Really?
I'm like, oh, no. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm so tense reading it. Like, it's such a great book, but I'm so tense reading it because I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know. I don't know
what happens. What's going to happen?
Yes, I know. Like that movie Marley and Me. Did you ever see that?
No, I never saw that.
Yeah. Well, see half of it and then talk to me. But
really?
No, it's actually really good. It's with Jennifer Aniston and Owen Wilson.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about this dog, Marley. And it's a wonderful, wonderful movie. But, man, I bawled my eyes out.
Did you really?
Oh, my God. I was crying so hard, I couldn't stop.
Yeah. Had you read the book before that, before the movie?
No.
No.
I did not.
Because I know the book did very well, too.
Yeah, no, just saw the movie. I don't know if I could deal with reading the book. It's too much. But I'm excited to have the author on and talk to him.
Yeah, so. Right up your alley, dogs and everything.
Yeah,
so
I have to thank you
for
that.
You're the expert. Yeah.
No, I'm not the expert.
You are
I'm
the expert.
I'm just a fan of...
Okay, so you know better than
I do. Well, between the two of us, I'm an expert, yes. Yes, but that's not saying much. But to everybody else, I'm not a total expert. I just love doggies. You know.
Yeah, well, doggies are doggies, you know. They're fun.
They're
a lot
of fun. Well, some.
Yeah.
And then there's some
that's
that are
true.
Complete
that's
terrors.
True. Yeah. I noticed that when people walk their dogs on the street, it depends on what the dog's temper is, or temperament is, as to whether they're going to talk to each other or not, the people, you know? Like, like this one woman has, she has a bigger dog and then she has a chihuahua that constantly like barks at everybody.
Gross.
So it's like, yeah, so everybody stays away from her. You
right.
know? Yeah, because the
dog
is
just goes
like,
crazy.
Yeah.
I know.
You know.
And it's always the littler dogs. And I mean, look, I'm more of a big dog person, but I still like a lot of little dogs. And I really, earlier this year, Megan had found a dog, a chihuahua, on the street, and she rescued it, and we fostered it, and then we found a home for it. But, you know, I fell in love with this little Maggie Mae, we called her. And she was a sweetheart. But before that, I'm being honest, like, I wasn't a fan of the chihuahuas.
Yeah.
I thought they were just little yappers and, like, all of them. I just generalized them. But I have to say, I really liked Maggie Mae a lot. But littler dogs seem to have a complex.
Yeah, they do.
You
think they have to scare off everybody.
Yeah, they gotta be tough.
Yeah.
Good for them, though, you know?
But not all of them are like that, like
no,
you
not
said,
all of them.
You know?
Yeah,
but
just
many
depends.
Are. Many are.
But many are.
I mean, they're
like
the sweetest dogs, but then when they see a stranger or something or another dog, forget about it.
But then they're protecting, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know what goes on.
Do they realize we don't need their protection?
I don't know. The little dogs
small.
Think that they're so tough, you know, and they're going to protect us. It's cute, though.
Yeah.
To a point. And then it gets annoying. No, I like most dogs, I have to say.
Yeah.
There's some
well, that's good.
You know, there's some that have bitchy attitudes. But I would rescue every dog. I would, you know, open my house to every
single
dog.
With no discrimination or anything.
No,
right?
No. A dog is a dog.
A dog
is a dog. It needs help. Yeah. I mean, that's what matters, you know?
Okay.
Okay, so okay, we're going to talk to Bruce about... Little Dog's Disease, my dad said. We're going to talk to Bruce about this book and how it came about. Because he's writing as a dog.
Right. It's narrated by the dog.
It's narrated by the dog. Right. It's really great.
Yeah.
I love it. I love
it. Okay, well, we'll get to that in a few minutes. If you guys like dogs, if you don't, you can tune out to the next channel.
And you don't have
to
listen.
Come back later.
Get the hell out of here. I love it. So, did you hear that... J-Lo, this is so old news, but J-Lo and Mark Anthony are divorcing.
Yes. Didn't we hear, we talked
we
about it
talk
yesterday.
We didn't talk about it yesterday.
We didn't?
You and I talked about it before the show.
Oh,
we just
okay.
never got to it. And you know what I have to say? My dad and I were talking about this yesterday. I never understood them together. I didn't get it.
Really? Why?
And just, you know.
Yeah.
Look-wise, I just didn't get it, you know. I mean, she's gorgeous.
Yeah. He's okay.
Talented, we'll say. We'll say he's talented. But yeah, I just never got them. It just didn't click for me. And let me say this. So his track record, he was married twice to the same woman. You know that?
Oh,
he
really?
Was married,
no,
divorced her, got married again.
Okay.
Okay, so now he's on his second, third marriage, whatever, second/third
right.
marriage with J-Lo. And J-Lo, this is her third marriage.
Oh, really?
My advice to them,
yes.
maybe just not get married again, or else you're going to end up like Elizabeth Taylor 8 times. Maybe just don't do it. Maybe just
I know.
Live
why
with somebody.
People have to get married all the time? You know, I mean, what is that?
I don't know. And I feel like with celebrities, maybe just don't do it.
Yeah.
You have so much stuff. Like you have so much money. You have to split all this up. Like that's
right.
a lot. Just maybe just live together. Like,
yeah.
What's her name? Goldie Hawn
right.
and Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
They've been together for over 20 years. They're
right.
not married. They just are committed to each
right.
other.
But some people want kids, you know, and in order to have a kid, you want to have a family and you get married. You know, I mean, that's the way it works in society.
But, yeah, but they can have kids out of wedlock.
Yeah, no. But not everybody wants it.
No, I know. Yeah. I understand that. I'm just saying, like, it's just... It's so funny.
Doesn't want to walk. The kids don't want to walk around people asking, "Who's your daddy?"
Because that's what kids do. I love it in your world, Sam. Because that's what kids do. They walk around asking, "Who's your daddy?" And they're like,
"You
don't
know."
I don't know
what kids do anymore.
I don't know. My mom's a whore. That's what they answer back. I'm just kidding. I don't care if you have kids out of wedlock. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as you love them and not become like Casey Anthony and kill her kid.
Yeah. Do they still consider kids that are out of wedlock bastards? Because that's what it is.
I know.
You know?
I don't
what
consider
it, means.
It.
No.
Do you consider it?
That's what they call it.
No,
I mean,
I
don't know.
Bastard kids.
But they don't call them anymore, you know? I don't think
I'm going to say no.
No.
I'm going to say no on that one.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, I feel like it's just that... When you grew up and the time, and I'm sure my grandparents do think so.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
My parents, not so much. I mean.
Yeah, they're more modern.
Yeah, more modern.
Yeah, yeah.
And I definitely don't. I mean, look,
yeah.
if you're happy, like Kourtney Kardashian, and she's had a kid out of wedlock, good for her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how about that reality
yeah,
show?
Yeah, exactly.
Incident.
We're not here to judge.
I don't care. As long as you're happy and you're good to your kid and... You know, you really appreciate them. I mean, who's to sit there and judge?
Yeah.
Because it's so ridiculous. Everybody's so quick to point the finger at somebody else, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to point the finger at Casey Anthony for sure.
Yes. You haven't gotten over that one yet.
I'm not. I'm still very angry about it. And
yeah.
all this stuff is coming out. This bounty hunter wants to sue her because she misled him and he gave her like $50,000 for her bail and like... I don't know if that's true. And
really?
Then all of a sudden her aunt is coming out speaking about the family. And really, why is all of this coming out now? Like, why wasn't this brought into the trial? Is that a dumb
because
question?
Because maybe it
ask?
Would be irrelevant, you know, to
Do you
the
think?
Trial. Yeah. It would be irrelevant to the trial. I mean, obviously, you know, the fact that she hadn't reported it for 30 days didn't bother anybody, you know. So,
well, I don't know. Everybody's going to be obsessed with this forever.
Yeah.
Just like the OJ thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, people still talk about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But OJ got his karma, you know?
Yeah. Karma it is. Yeah.
Karma it is.
Yeah.
I was watching this show yesterday for like a hot second, but I think it was like on A&E or something, and it was about they were doing stories on kids, underage kids that had already committed murder.
Really?
Like 15 years old, yeah. 16 years old. It was so, so disturbing. Mm. Like, there's this one kid that, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of went wrong in their lives and how it was approached, and things could have been done to, you know, maybe not have this happen. But there's this one story, excuse me, this kid was from an early age, he was pretty, which is, in every single one of these stories, it's like the common thread that connects them, right?
Right?
It's right. Like these kids are, you know, they don't really socialize with people. They're stuck in the room. They're on the computer, blah, 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 whatever. So this one kid, very young age, he didn't have any friends. He didn't go out. And he started talking on the computer. And he found this, he was very, I think he was an only child. And his parents didn't really, were part of his family, or part of his life, but they, you know, he kind of just kept to himself.
Right.
And so he found this guy on the computer, and this guy was a pedophile.
Mm.
And he started talking to him online.
Right.
And they started seeing each other for like a year. And now this kid was, I want to say he was maybe 14 at the time or 15. 14 at the time, and it went on for a year. I forget his name. It escapes me. I'll have to put up a link to the page. But so they started seeing each other, and then it was found out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
The pedophile was arrested, of course. He pled guilty to everything, said, you know, now he was serving like 5 years in jail for that. And that was back in the 90s. This was like 1996. And the kid was so messed up from it, right? So his parents, they were closely watching him, and they were really concerned about him, and they took him to see, you know, a therapist and all this stuff. But, you know, they were fearful for their lives, which I don't know as parents what I would do. Like, if I'm scared of my kid, like, what would you do?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I really don't know what could have been done. But, you know, they decided to go for a day trip that they had been planning for a while, and they left their son at home.
Mm-hmm.
This young, innocent kid was going door-to-door selling something, like a Boy Scout thing or whatever, and the boy answered his door, the messed up kid, I forget his name, we'll call him Mike. He answered the door, and he brought the little kid in, right? And you think he's going to, like, rape him. He took him upstairs and strangled him for 40 minutes with a cord from the phone, like a phone cord, and just killed this innocent kid, right? Just totally messed up.
Jeez,
was
man.
So unbelievably fucked up. Yeah. Well, then, you know, his parents, obviously he had to go to trial, all the stuff, and his parents wanted him to plead insanity.
Mm.
And he said he wouldn't do it.
Really?
The kid said he wouldn't do it. He goes, no, I'm guilty for killing him. I absolutely killed him. I strangled him for 40 minutes. He's like, I did. It was just like no big thing to him.
Yeah.
So he's serving now like 72 years in prison. But there was like 5-6 different cases that were just all these kids that had committed.
Right, like underage kids.
Underage kids,
wow.
Like 15, 16 years old.
Totally messed up.
This other kid murdered his parents, like, and sitting there during the confession, they taped him, and he's like, I can't get rid of these voices in my head, and was like going crazy. I mean, it was so riveting to watch, but yet so, so, so disturbing. I couldn't even.
Yeah.
They're so young.
I know.
I don't even know what to do. I mean, thinking like, I mean, obviously, Casey Anthony, they have their own problems, and maybe their parents have something to do with it. I don't know, but I can't imagine being in that, being a parent and having your kid, like, commit murder and harming these people. It's just, it's rough.
I know, it's like, what side do you take, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's your kid.
Right.
But then
then you have to be fair to the victims.
Exactly.
Too, you know?
It's really a tough... It's tough for the parents, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, I'm sure it's tough for Casey Anthony's parents, but how much were they involved in the,
in it? Right, exactly. Who knows?
I don't know.
But I think if they suspected they were involved, the police would have done something, you know?
You think?
I think they've concluded they have nothing to do with it.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
Okay, well, let's call our author. His name is Bruce Cameron, and he wrote the book A Dog's Purpose. So let's discuss that with him and see what's going on.
Bruce Cameron.
Yes, Bruce, good morning to you. This is Sam and Stephanie calling you from LA Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. Good to hear your voices.
Hi,
wonderful.
Bruce.
I see from your number you're in LA as well, right?
I am indeed, yes. Wonderful. Marina Del Rey.
Oh, wow.
Oh, love
yeah.
Marina Del Rey.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you weathered the Carmageddon that never happened, I suppose?
I made it through. I stayed in bed with my blankets over my head the whole time.
No, there's
good
a way to
you.
Go. Yeah.
Good for you. I know. I stayed off the 405, too, so I hear you.
Yeah. You wrote the book A Dog's Purpose, and
yes.
We started reading this, and it's very unique book, I think, in many ways. It's very very emotional, a tearjerker from the
yes.
From the outset.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the book. How did it come about, Bruce?
Well, A Dog's Purpose tells the story of a dog who is reborn not once but several times
yeah.
and remembers each life. So he learns lessons in the early lives that helps him with, and sometimes it's a her, with things in later life. And over time comes to realize there must be some reason why he keeps being reborn, some purpose that until he fulfills his purpose, he's just going to keep going through this over and over again.
Right.
And the seed for A Dog's Purpose started when I was, I was just riding my bicycle in the mountains of Colorado, and I had an interaction with this big, goofy, dumb, friendly dog. But the thing about this dog is that it had these eyes, like old soul eyes. And the way he looked at me so reminded me of my very first dog, Cammy. I mean, it was uncanny how the dogs, the light in his eyes and the way he tilted his head was exactly the same. And I rode away from that encounter wondering, what if dogs are reborn? What if they have more than one life, and what would that look like from the dog's perspective? So that's why A Dog's Purpose is told from the point of view of a very special dog.
Right.
Yeah, starting out as Toby. So I'm obsessed with dogs, Bruce, and this is such a wonderful thing that I have you on here, and I get to talk to you about this. And I started reading it yesterday. I'm on page 93, and he's already in his second family.
Yeah.
As Bailey. And I love golden retrievers. So this is like in his second life, Sam, he comes back as a golden retriever.
I
and
see.
It's just so wonderful. But within the first, like, what, five pages, I already start bawling my eyes out, Bruce. And I'm like, God damn it. I hate him. But now I'm like, I mean, I'm so anxious to read it. And then yet I'm so tense because I actually earlier this year had to put one of my dogs down that I rescued. And I only had her for a year. And
oh,
it was,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know. It was such a hard thing in my life, but you know, it happens. Everybody has to go through it. You know, this is what happens
right.
when we have animals, but I know what you mean about, looking at a dog and knowing and their essence and knowing something. Now I thought that my dog India was actually my grandmother.
Wow.
And she had everything. And this sounds so weird. I sound like a crazy person, but she had everything about my grandmother. Now, I believe in reincarnation, so for me, I'm on the bandwagon with you 100%. Like, I'm in it. I get it. I'm going through it with you, and I believe it can absolutely happen, and I love that it is told through this perspective. But it also makes me so, like, it makes me sad, and then it makes me happy to see you telling through Toby's eyes at first. He's mm-hmm. first as Toby, because the way Bruce writes it, everybody out there is saying, like, you know, how Toby just wants to be loved and he just wants to be petted. And then I look at my dogs and I'm like, I'm sorry if I've ever gotten mad at you. And then yesterday I'm like literally like holding my dogs, like, I'm so sorry. But it was such a, it's such a wonderful, it's something so wonderful in my life that I can take away from this. But, and I'm only on page 93, so I have a lot more to go. But, back to go ahead.
Well, you're not the first person or the only person to say that reading A Dog's Purpose really helped with the grief of putting down a pet.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I think this is one of the key things that dogs teach us that we don't pay attention to. They bring such joy into our lives, and yet we know the day that we adopt them that it's going to end badly. In most cases, we will be having a dog funeral.
Right.
And it is there's a lesson there, and the lesson is, yes, but there's still plenty of joy, and you can get another dog, and you can have that again, and it's a profound lesson about life. It's one of the most important things that they teach us, but I think very often we don't look beyond the surface message of, oh, I lost a beloved friend.
Right.
Yeah. I have to say, too, though, losing a dog, I don't know how many dogs you've lost or how many dogs you have at the moment, but, you know, India was the first dog I lost, and so when I first was, like, looking at other dogs, I was like, I want India. Mm. But you're never going to get that.
Right.
You know, you'll get things about them that'll be the same, but you'll never get that back, you know? Right. Which I'm appreciative for now, I have to say, Bruce, because then it makes me really cherish what I had with India and now what I have with Fred and Bodhi, and it's all different.
Right.
You know? But I really, really, really love the way you wrote this book, I have to say. And it's so wonderful to hear this voice coming from a dog and, like, what they feel and what they go through and what they want. And it's really incredible because I think as dog owners, we always sit and guess, like, you know, what are they thinking? What are they feeling? And I love hearing this side of it.
Well, and there are a lot of books out there that are told from the perspective of a dog, but this is a real dog. It's not a person. Like there are some books where the dogs learn how to speak English because they watch television. This dog isn't like that. This dog really doesn't speak English. I mean, the story is told in English.
Right.
It's sort of like one of those books it's as told to me by a dog. The dog himself only has a few hundred word vocabulary, whereas and that's pretty normal for a dog.
Right.
And then I want to make sure that everybody knows that despite the fact that we're talking about the death of the dog, this is not a spoiler because I said it at the opening. This dog is reborn, so this is not a dog book where the dog dies in the very last chapter. That doesn't happen in this book.
Yeah. And now I wanted to ask you as far as how did you get? Okay, so you got the idea because you saw the dog and everything, but the idea to write it from the dog's perspective. I mean, that's kind of unique. How did you come up with that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of literature out there about dogs, and so I was studying that. When I wrote A Dog's Purpose, I was really focused on what the scientists say. And then I started, though, just watching dogs in the dog park and watching how they interact and saw, you know, what looks to us like this sort of chaotic milling around that makes no sense is actually a very ritualized greeting, and there's a certain way that they like to approach each other, and certain dogs act a certain way, and when they know each other, they behave in an entirely different fashion. And I really started to get a sense of what the world must look like from a dog's perspective, especially when you consider that they know so few words. So you come home and the dog has tipped over the trash can and has gotten the coffee grounds all over the carpet, and you're saying, oh, that was so bad, you got the coffee grounds. And the dog knows what bad means, but it doesn't know why you're angry. Yeah. As far as it's concerned, you left lunch out, you know?
Yeah. No.
So great.
Bruce, was this the first book you ever wrote, or have you written books before?
No, some of your listeners may know me from a book called 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, because that became an ABC hit TV show starring the late John Ritter. That was a few years. That was 2001.
Oh, so you wrote that one.
My first novel.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
I remember. I remember the show.
That
actually
was a great show.
Yeah,
that was a great show.
Wonderful. Well, that's cool.
Well, the good news is that A Dog's Purpose has been picked up by DreamWorks, and they hired myself, and Catherine Michon, my writing partner / wife, to write the screenplay, and we've turned it in, and it looks like it's going to be a go.
Well, congratulations on that. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's
and
fantastic.
You know what? I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm looking on Amazon here. You got about 500 reviews and 5 stars. You know, that's very unusual.
Yeah, on Amazon.
So kudos to you for all that. I mean, that's a pretty big achievement there.
Now, Bruce, do you have dogs? You have to.
I have. Tucker is at my feet as we speak. He's a mix of we don't know what. We think there's golden in there. He looks like a miniature golden almost, except for his hair gets crazier and crazier the closer to its tail. And his job, he's almost 11 months old, and his job is excavating the stereo cables out from underneath the carpet.
That's oh, my God, that's so cute. Now, is he the one in the picture with you in the back?
Yes, that's
okay.
Tucker.
He is so cute. Oh, my God, I love him. So you just have one now. Did you rescue him?
Yeah, he's a complete rescue. He was dropped off in a box at a shelter. My daughter runs an animal shelter in Denver called Life is Better Rescue, and somebody just dropped him off, and she called me and said, you're going to want this one.
Aww.
He's a real special little guy.
Wow. Wonderful.
So it runs in the family, the love of dogs.
Yeah, it sure does.
That's fantastic.
It amazes me how people will pick up a dog, you know, and rescue it and things like that, you know, because it's not like something that you have to do, you know, but I think it has a lot of compassion in it, and
I respect
people to do that.
So what are you working on now, Bruce, before you go? Are you working on anything now?
Well, the good news is I've got a book coming out August 30th called Emery's Gift. It's not about a dog, but there is an animal in it. It's about a 13-year-old boy who teams up with his reluctant father to save a very special grizzly bear in Idaho in 1974. So it's a book that should appeal to everybody. And then I'm working right now on the sequel to A Dog's Purpose, which will be out sometime deep in the year 2012.
Wow. Well, you're busy.
Yes. Well, very good, Bruce.
Bruce, thank you. And I'm so happy for all your success. And thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us. And everybody can get your book, A Dog's Purpose, on Amazon, as well as your new one coming out on August 30th. So thank you and much continued success.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye.
Bruce, all the best.
Bye. He's awesome.
Sounds like a pretty fun guy. And,
he's so great.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, to get your books, like, picked up by movie studios and stuff, that's amazing.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and he had that show, Eight
yeah.
Simple Rules.
Right.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But I really, this book is... Oh,
you love.
I love already, and I'm only on page 93. I highly, highly, highly recommend it to people out there. People that are, if you even like dogs a little bit, I highly recommend it. But it's just so well told, and I love the way he writes. I'm a big fan of the woman Elizabeth. I'm blanking on her name. Who wrote Eat, Pray, Love?
Oh,
Elizabeth
Pickold or something. Picot, I don't know how the name is pronounced.
Eat, Pray,
but,
Love.
Yeah.
Elizabeth something. I'm in love with the way she writes, her words.
Mm.
It's because she writes and it's so visual to me. That's the reason why I loved. I mean, the movie was actually pretty good,
yeah.
But the book is phenomenal because it's so. Her words like jump off the page, like it's so alive. It's just beautifully told, and I'm a huge fan of Oh my God, I'm blanking on everybody's name. Truman Capote, who wrote In Cold Blood. Have you read that book?
No.
Oh
no,
my God.
I have
God.
Not read that one.
Elizabeth Gilbert. There we go.
Oh, is that the name?
Elizabeth Gilbert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for looking.
So where
that.
Do I get the other one? Oh, the other one is My Sister's Keeper.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's was Jody something, right?
Oh, let's look it up. Here, but as you're looking it up, but my Truman Capote, the way he wrote Jody Pickold. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
You just combined the two names together,
I know.
Elizabeth and Pickold.
Because I'm saying, yeah, I mean women books, you know.
You know. But no, you have to. In Cold Blood is seriously one of my favorite books. It's a true story about the Clutter family that was this horrific murder back in the 50s, I think, 50s or 60s. And he writes, the way he wrote Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Mm.
Okay. He's just this amazing author. Really flamboyant gay man. I don't even think he's still alive, actually. I think he's passed on.
Truman Capote?
Yeah, is he
Yeah,
passed
he's
on?
Dead, I think.
Yeah. I forget how he died. But so anyway, he wrote this book, and how he wrote it was he started with the two guys that committed the murders, okay?
Yeah.
And then he started with that, and then he started with the Clutter family.
Right.
And he told their separate stories simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how it led up to the point where it got to the murder. And then he put it together, and then he went on to tell the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
It was just incredible. But
okay.
I really love the way Bruce has decided to write his book.
Yeah.
Thumbs up from Steph.
Sounds good, yeah. You know, I mean...
not that anybody cares, but I'm going to give a thumbs up.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you hear about the skydiver that dropped his iPhone 13,000 feet? And it fell on the ground.
No.
He still found it. He found it on the roof of a building, and the phone was totally smashed, but it still worked.
Oh. No, it did
this
not.
This is an iPhone 4. I mean, it's all made of glass and stuff, you know.
It's smashed, but it still works?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
13,000 feet, man. I mean, this thing is still in one piece. It's just, you know, the glass is shattered, but...
Oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing, though? I'm even surprised he found it. I mean, how could he find it?
Right.
You know, from 13,000 feet, how would you know where it fell, you know?
But that should be a commercial for them.
I know.
Oh, my God. You should take whoever's listening at Mac, because I know you're all listening.
At Apple.
Or at Apple. Whatever. Mac, Apple. I do this all the time.
I know.
I can't get it straight. Apple. If you guys are listening at Apple, I think that should be the commercial. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I would go, based on that, I would go buy that iPhone. I mean, I already have it, but
yeah.
Based on that, I would go buy
really?
It.
Really? Except
you?
When you drop it on the floor, it stops working, you know?
It stops working. But from 13,000 feet, it works.
Yeah, it still works. Go
that
figure.
Is insane.
It really is, you know? It's crazy.
He should seriously be the new spokesmodel.
Yeah.
Spokesman.
Spokesmodel. Yeah.
Spokesman, whatever. That is a cool story, actually.
Yeah.
I'm quite impressed with that.
I know. Me too, man. And the phone still worked. You know, that's the amazing thing about it.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you heard of Bitcoin? Do you know what that is?
I don't even know.
Bitcoin. Bitcoin.
Yeah,
Bitcoin.
I have no idea what that
you
is.
You don't know what that is.
That's like gibberish. What were you talking about?
It's virtual money. It was created on the internet, and people use that as money for exchange and things like that. It's not real money, but you have to sort of like buy it, you know?
Okay.
And the thing about it, the thing people like about it is that you can pay for things anonymously, you know? So you don't leave tracks like credit cards and things like that. You
okay.
Know? So it's almost like monopoly money that's actually accepted by businesses and stuff,
huh.
You know. So this thing is really catching on and stuff, and I don't know where it's going to go. I mean, the value of it goes up and down all the time, you know.
Hmm.
But it's pretty interesting stuff, you know. I mean, to have a means of exchange that's new, you know.
That's so weird. How long has this been in circulation?
It's been around for a while, maybe a couple of years or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it's growing, you know, and I wonder what it's going to be like, you know, if it's actually going to catch on, because it is a good idea, you know, because when you think about it, everything that you do can be traced, you
sure.
know, everything you buy, you mm-hmm. know, things like that. And you may not want people to know you're looking at porn or something, you know, or shit
and
like that.
And that's where
you
his
know?
Mind goes. Fantastic. I knew that was coming.
Well, that's probably why people would use it mostly,
yeah, but
you
would
know?
You also use it? I mean,
anonymously.
Is it good for, like, fraud stuff, too?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't
thought
of that. I
would think that maybe that would be good, right? Mm. Because there is so much fraud these days.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that would probably help with it, right?
How?
I don't know. I don't know how this works. I have no idea. I'm just guessing.
Okay. By saying nobody can hack into your account or something like that.
Well,
okay,
like you're paying for something through credit card online,
mm-hmm.
say somebody hacks into it or something, or somebody that works on the other end that's maybe got a criminal record decides to steal your credit card number.
Right.
Then they can't, right?
Right, exactly.
So that's
yeah,
a good
that's different.
Thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really like the name.
No?
No.
Bitcoin?
No, I don't like it.
Okay, well.
Because it doesn't, I don't really get how that, the name goes with, I don't understand it.
Bit, you know, bits like in data. Computer data, bits, bytes, things like that.
They're called
you know?
Bytes, right?
Well, bits too.
Oh.
Yeah. Bits are smaller.
Oh.
A bit is one character. A byte is eight.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, now you...
Now I got
now
it.
Now you know.
See, you just had to explain it to me. That's all. I'm not... I mean, I have my moments where I'm stupid, but, you know, I can catch on pretty quickly.
Good.
All right, important. So that's why I get it now.
Okay.
All right, so I like the name. Okay, we'll
okay.
leave it. We'll
there
just
you
leave
go.
It.
Yeah.
I approve. Stamp of approval.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so,
pretty
so
cool.
So now a funny thing happened. If you've been following the news with Rupert Murdoch, have you been following the news?
He's
got
trial.
A newspaper like a tabloid in the UK. He's not on trial, no.
No.
He's just testifying before the parliament in the UK
for
because
what?
There was a scandal with his newspaper that victims' phones were hacked, you know, in the name of publishing news stories and shit like that,
okay.
you know. So that's like a big fuck up, you know, on their part.
Yeah.
So Murdoch decided to close down the paper. They closed it last week, but now he has to testify and stuff, you know, as far as to what happened, what's going on and all that. So apparently somebody, as he was sitting there in the meeting, okay, somebody...
Oh, no.
Somebody took a plate of shaven foam and straight on his face, man. You know, like a pie, like a pie fight.
What?
Like that. Yeah.
Are
threw
you
it
serious?
Right in his face, man. He was standing like next to him, you know. And it was pretty amazing.
Shut up. Why? Was he pissed?
I'm sure he was, yeah, you know. But yeah, it was somebody that wasn't really happy, I guess, with
well,
what
apparently.
He was saying. Yeah.
This wasn't like a Three Stooges. Like,
how does a person get in there during a fucking hearing,
say.
A government hearing, you know?
And then takes a thing of shaving cream.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And throws it in his
throws
face.
Throws it in his face, you know? I mean, what
That's
the hell?
That's so weird. I have not. I did not. I'm actually pulling up the video right now. Do they show it on the video?
I think so. I didn't see the video, but.
God, I'm itching like crazy. Yeah, it's on CNN. You can pull it up. It's the Rupert Murdoch accosted at hearing.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I can't, I'm going to wait, just pull it up. But what? So that just doesn't, it's so weird.
Yeah. I know, but it's funny. I like it.
No, I think it's great.
He deserves this shit, you know. He's, not many people like him, you know. I mean, he owns a lot of stuff. Maybe people are jealous of him, but
yeah, I was going to say, he owns a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I remember when I was with my husband would talk about him a lot. As a conspiracy theorist, he thought he was, like, the most evil
I'm sure.
Man in the world. I'm like, okay, dude. But I heard so much about him when I was with him, and, you know, but everybody was evil to him, too, so whatever, who cares.
Yeah, so you learned a lot from him.
I think I'm crazier because of him, actually, which is, I don't know how that's possible.
Crazy like a fox, that's what you are.
Where does that
even
come from?
Which means that you're not crazy at all, you know? It's just there's a method to the craziness.
I think so. Oh, my God. Okay, somebody just slapped somebody in the face.
Yeah.
That was actually really funny. They kind of caught it off camera, so it's not on there, but this woman, you see all these people like rush up to him, and this woman slaps this guy in the face. It's actually really funny.
Oh, so it's a woman that did that?
Well, no. It looks like she hit... Oh, okay. Oh, I see. There's a guy in the plaid shirt on the left side of the screen who comes up and shoves shaving cream in his face. He's sitting down, and all these people rush to his side, and this woman behind him literally reaches over and smacks the guy in the face. This is so weird.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about it. It's actually funny, though. It's like a food fight.
It
they
is
should have
funny.
Just had a huge food fight there.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
You know me. I want...
yeah, pie fight, man.
I want an actual food fight. We talked about this. Like, seriously renting out a warehouse for a day and just having a huge... food fight. You want to come to my food fight?
Sure. I would love that.
We have to find somebody to make all the food, though. The messier, the better.
Yeah, but I ain't cleaning up, man.
No, that's the beauty of it. You walk away. You wash your hands. You have the fight. You have a great time. We'll play some music. It'll be great. And then
you
leave. And then somebody else. Yeah, and then somebody else cleans up. We'll be paying a lot of money for this, though. We got to pay thousands of dollars. I don't know where I'm going to get it, but I'll find it.
You don't need thousands of dollars. For what?
Because we have to rent a sound stage. We have to rent like a warehouse.
Oh, you want a sound stage?
Or like a warehouse thing.
Do it outdoors. I mean,
no,
what the hell?
No, because
what?
Then we have to clean it up.
No, you don't.
Yes, who are we going to hire to clean this up?
Go in the canyon or something.
Okay.
No, and we'll hire somebody to clean it up, but it'll cost us $60 an hour or $10 an hour by a maid, you know?
Hold on, though. If we did it out... Okay, let's think about this for a second. If we did this outside, wouldn't that be like... what's the word? I'm like, against the law? Like we're you know
no,
what I mean?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think?
No, people do that all the time. I mean, throw shit out and stuff, you know?
Yeah, but then that's like, that's not a, they'll find us. They'll
that's small detail, you know? First arrange it, then we'll worry
but
about
I
it.
But I feel like it's better in like a warehouse.
Yeah.
Then it's more controlled, and then it's just, we can get as messy as we want and not worry about it, and then people can come clean up. It's probably easier to clean up.
Okay.
don't you think?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about something that's never going to happen, so why are we even bothering?
It will. It is going to happen. And when you get that invitation on Facebook for Stephanie's food fight, you'll then say you're sorry.
I'll be there.
Okay, great. Because that's how I'm going to send it out, is through Facebook, just so you know.
Okay, cool. I think it was your dad trying to call in, so if you want to call in, Tony, you can call back in.
Yeah. What is he going to call about?
Probably Rupert Murdoch, I'm sure.
Yeah, please, Dad, call
back. Yeah, everything else is not really meaningful to him.
I almost just spit out my coffee.
Now, there's a question here. Who should pay on a date? Now, that's something that, that's been around for a long time. People are debating this, and nobody's decided on anything. Now, what I'd like to know is, where did it start that a guy has to do this? Is this because guys are the ones that chase the women, that are the ones that court them? Or is that because it was written somewhere in the Bible? I mean, where...
I don't know. I didn't read the Bible.
Where did this start? Here's your dad. Let's pick it up and see. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Sam, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Pops, what's up?
Hey, the reason I was calling in was...
Murdoch.
Well, first of all, Steffi is crazy.
Thank you.
And Dan really kind of pushed that whole process along, so
we got
Dan to thank for that.
Thank you.
But I meant to tell you this morning.
What?
It was absolutely hilarious on Good Morning America.
What was it?
They had the BBC bloopers.
Uh-huh.
And they had, like, for instance, they're interviewing a guy who they think is another guy, and he's actually there for another reason. So those were a couple of them. But there was one that was by far the most hilarious reaction and story.
What was it?
The BBC put a guy on TV.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
A guy who was interviewing for a position at BBC.
Okay.
But they put him on television because they thought he was an expert tech. And it was an African-American guy who was, like, from Africa, he sounded like. But he may have been African-American in England. You know, they have the that accent. It's tough to – it's almost like a South African accent.
Yeah,
you know
South
what I mean?
African accent.
So
yes.
The guy is on television, and the woman who's doing the interview introduces him as such and such, whatever the guy's name was, not this guy, but another guy's name, and he's a tech expert.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you should see the guy's face. His face, he doesn't say a word, he just looks at the camera, and he raises his eyebrows, and he's like, oh, shit. They think I'm somebody. All he was doing was interviewing for a job. And they put him on the television. And you know what they said?
What?
The guy, he winged it.
Oh, he didn't
let on at all.
Really?
He didn't say a word.
They
were asking him questions he was answering.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he thought it was a test for the job interview.
Right.
He was there to interview for a position at the BBC, and someone mistook him for this tech expert, put him on the television. She introduces him. The guy's face was priceless.
But what?
He didn't have to say a word. He didn't have to do anything.
But
he just sat there, and he looked at the camera, and was like, what?
But did he know anything about tech stuff?
Well, they didn't show the interview complete.
Okay.
They just showed these other ones.
Okay.
The very first one was with a guy who was sitting there, and they thought they were talking to a guy, an expert on sports.
Yeah.
And they were asking him a sports question. And the BBC reporter says, well, you know, it's pretty sad or pretty bad that this happened or something. And it was a sporting event. The guy just sat there, and he goes, the guy who's getting interviewed looks at him, he looks at the camera, and he says, well, what's even worse is that I'm not Joe Smith, and I know nothing about soccer.
Really?
it's hilarious.
That is awesome.
But if you can maybe you can YouTube that guy who went in there for the interview,
oh,
because
really?
I've never seen anything
Yeah.
I wish we could show our viewers. I mean, everybody's going to have to YouTube
it. That's okay.
It,
yeah, you can just send them to it.
That's hilarious.
But it's priceless. I mean, when you see the guy, it's just like, he kind of raises eyebrows like, whoa, I'm way in over my head. I'm not the guy you think I am.
I'm trying to find
And he never let on. Yeah. They said he never let on. He just sat there through the interview and I guess answered whatever questions they asked.
They should hire him just for that.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah. I don't have much to say about Murdoch. Okay.
Good.
That's just a whole disaster.
Yeah. So. We'll talk about it some other time, Tony.
Yeah. So hey, he was a good guest.
Yeah. Who? Author.
Yeah, the author. Yeah. He was very good. Yeah. Very successful, too.
Yes.
Really?
Get a show on. Yeah. And he sounds like he's prolific, too. He's coming out with a couple more books. And
yeah, Breed It, Pops. Yeah. Dog's Purpose.
Yeah,
and you love dogs.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Pops.
Okay, Tony.
All right, love you. Love you. Bye.
Love you.
He's so funny.
So going back to this pain on a date and stuff, I wanted to ask you. So I guess you, like most people, expect the man to pay for a date when you go out and stuff.
I would like it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you think it always should be the case? I mean, what if you guys go out for a while and stuff like that?
Well, then that's fine. Then, you know, you're dating for a while, then that's fine. But, you know, I like when the guy pays.
I'm sure you do. But the guy doesn't like it, you know?
Well, you know what? Like, I feel like, obviously, if the guy has money, he doesn't really give a shit, you know?
Yeah. Because well, what if he's not rich and he wants to wine and dine?
Then don't date him.
Okay. Now we know where you stand on that. The real Stephanie comes out.
I'm just kidding. No, when I was with, my husband, he would pay for things at first, and then we started, you know, the more we dated, then I would pay for stuff.
Really? Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, it just kind of, you got to talk about it with that person, you know, because if they're not okay with it, then, you know, you got to ask them and see how they feel about it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to say let the guy wind down you. Especially if he's coming after you.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. So the guy always comes after the girl, so he always has to pay. That's
not all the time.
Saying.
Girls go after guys.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's true.
I don't. Yeah. But I don't know. I think that the guy should.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah. But even girls that go after guys, they expect the guy to pay. I'm sure, you know, and but you know what? I'm thinking if I were a woman, I would at least offer to pay half or something, you know, or, you know, something like that. I don't know.
I had it's so funny. I went on this date. This was a while ago and I went out with this guy that I met and I met him on my birthday last year. Or I don't even remember last year maybe. And we went out and it was the weirdest date. Okay. This will go into the paying thing, but it was the weirdest date. Like we're sitting down at dinner and I was asking him questions about himself, just like getting to know him. And he starts answering me back in like a Mr. Magoo voice. And I'm like, okay, like, sure. Like, I kind of sat there, like, I started to laugh, and then the longer it went on, I was like, he's serious.
Really?
So then he started changing up his voices, and he started doing all these, like, weird voices as I'm asking him questions. And I was like, oh, this guy's crazy. He's out of his mind. So now I'm just trying to get through the date, right? And so I'm not really starving. He's not really starving. We end up splitting something, okay? Right. Just chicken fajitas, whatever. It's like $12 or something. Or it's like $14, whatever. And during the dinner, he was like, I really want to come and, you know, and meet your dogs after. And I was like, uh-huh. Well, not tonight. You're not going to. It's like the first date. I'm like, dude, I'm not an idiot. I know why you want to come upstairs is because you want to have sex and it's not going to happen. First of all, anybody that talks in a Mr. Magoo voice, I don't think it should ever get laid. Just, I'm going to say that, okay? So he already just stuck himself in the neck. I don't even know what that term, what I was going for. Anyway, but he, so he's like, when he's asking me, and finally, like, I said, like, three different times, I was like, no, like, you'll meet him another time if you want to. And so then the bill comes, and now I didn't assume anything, so I was like, do you want me to pay? Do you want to split this? Like, what do you want to do? He's like, now the bill came out to being $18, I think. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, just give me 10. And I was like, okay, asshole. First of all, the reason why you said that is because if I would have said to him, you can come back to the house, he would have paid.
Yeah. And so I'm, he was irritated.
I'm like, you know what? You should be paying for the whole thing. I mean, I put the $10 down, but I was like, you should be paying for the whole thing, you jerk face. First of all, you made me sit through this stupid ass date where you're doing all these character voices. And it's not even, I'm not, like, I felt like I was being punked. I was like, what is happening right now? It was the weirdest experience I've ever had. But yeah, so I don't know. I think that, you know what, if you have an understanding about it, like.
Yeah.
But I think guys should pay. You know why? Because in society, men are the provider. Mm. They are. And you know what? That's what men like to do.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing. But on the other hand, you women, you know, want equality and everything, you know. But you still want to be pursued and dined and wined and all this shit, you know. So
we should be treated like a princess.
Okay, well, the hell with that.
We will continue this conversation tomorrow. Awesome.
Okay,
thanks, Sammy.
Stephanie. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.